listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we get to explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare, married, or otherwise related to a healthcare professional, or you're just simply interested in how God is working through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, I'm so glad you're here. In this episode, Dr. Greg Sund shares his inspiring work improving anesthesia training as well as surgical safety in sub-Saharan Africa. His commitment to God's call is, well, it's a powerful testimony of serving the underserved with compassion and excellence and faith. Through his key partnerships and a dedicated team, life-saving care is reaching African rural hospitals and vulnerable communities, places where resources are limited, but the need is incredibly urgent. Dr. Sund and his colleagues are not only improving surgical outcomes, but they are building a sustainable, faith-driven model for anesthesia safety and training, equipping the next generation of healthcare professionals. He reflects today on the role of collaboration, data-informed quality improvement, and a heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ in shaping this mission. So let's jump into this powerful conversation, and you're going to hear how God is using faith, healthcare, and mission to save lives, and how each of us can be faithful right where we're called. Well, it is indeed an exciting pleasure for me to welcome to CMDA Matters a medical missionary of a rare kind, because in my career of 25, 30 years of medical missions, it is very rare to come across a career missionary who's an anesthesiologist. So Dr. Greg Sund, all the way from Kajabi Mission Hospital in not too far from Nairobi, Kenya, welcome to CMDA Matters today.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, I want to get started. I want our listeners to hear about your faith and your calling and what specifically inspired you to dedicate over a decade of your career to improving anesthesia care, not just at Kajabi Hospital, but also impacting other mission hospitals because you're part of a nurse anesthesia training program there that you found when you came. So talk to us about your faith and God's call on your life.
Yeah, so I would say it was really towards the end of medical school, the beginning of my residency, that I started becoming a lot more serious about my Christian faith. And thankfully, around this time, God provided for me a wife. And, you know, even in our early years, even before we got married, we had started to talk about, we both kind of felt this call to Africa and call to serve in long-term missions. But it did take God a long time to really reveal to us where He would have us go. So after I finished my residency and my fellowship, I went into practice and I started doing short-term trips, various places around Africa and West Africa. And, you know, over time, I really became convicted that if we were going to invest somewhere long-term, that I shouldn't just be going somewhere and doing anesthesia, but I should be teaching and training and equipping others and really working to replace myself. And so it was actually in 2010, I responded to a call on the CMDA website for a short-term volunteer anesthesiologist at Tenwick Hospital in Kenya. And I went just for 3 weeks. And while I was there, there was a team of medical missionaries who go by the name the Macropters, which is a composition of their last names. Yeah. And I kept in touch with the surgeon in that group, who's Jason Fader. And they were at the time doing the 2-year Samaritan's Purse post-residency program and praying about where God might send them long-term. So in 2013, Jason reached out to me and said, hey, we've decided we're going to move to Burundi, Kibuye, Burundi. It's a small rural hospital, 3 hours from the capital. He said, there's only one Burundian anesthetist there, and she doesn't know how to do general anesthesia. She can give spinal, she can give ketamine, and when she's not available, they've trained the community health worker to basically give IV ketamine to keep patients sedated during surgery, mostly cesarean sections. So at the time, I took a year sabbatical from my job back in the States. We went there and it became very evident very quickly that God was calling us there for more than just a year. There was actually a nurse anesthetist training program that was being run by a physical therapist because there were no physician anesthesiologists available. The medical students all had a required anesthesia critical care rotation, and they had no one to lead that. And so, a couple months in, I asked Jason, I said, Jason, do you think you might ever have need for a long-term anesthesiologist here? And Jason thought about it and he said, do you know one? And
so Good question.
Yeah. So yeah, we decided to kind of cash in our American chips. We went back to the US for a year for support raising. We had to go to language school in France for a year because Burundi is a Francophone country. And then in 2017, we moved back full-time to Burundi. Thought we would be there long-term, but around 2020, it became very clear that we were being nudged towards Kajabi, partly for family reasons and partly to help start a physician anesthesia training program.
Well, you are a missionary with the organization called Surge, and you mentioned the Macropters, and I think they're at the heart of Surge. There are several missionaries with Surge, and in fact, Dr. Eric McLaughlin. The timing of this interview and this podcast is right before a national convention, and Eric will be speaking at our national convention in St. Charles coming up. So this is a great timing. Thanks for working this out perfectly in your schedule, Greg, to join us. I'm curious as to what does Stephanie do? How does she contribute? Yeah. Is she medical, non-medical?
Yeah, so Stephanie was trained as a nurse and worked as a nurse in the U.S. In Africa, that's been a little trickier. So in Burundi, she actually worked as a lactation consultant. Mm. And if you know much about Burundi, you know that, you know, there's no access to formula. So for mothers who can't breastfeed, that can sometimes be a death sentence for their newborn children. So she really spent her days at the hospital working with the mothers, helping them to breastfeed and teaching them about breastfeeding. When we moved to Kajabi, they actually had a lactation consultant here already. And so she stepped into kind of a child life specialist role, doing a lot of play therapy with kids. She's actually been doing a lot of work with virtual reality distraction on the pediatric ward for our pediatric patients preoperatively and for kids on the ward who are bedbound. She puts VR goggles on them and plays games with them and brings a lot of joy to children through that ministry.
Greg, I want our listeners to know that just a couple of months ago, a friend of mine, Dr. Perry Jansen, who works at the African Mission Healthcare Foundation, which was founded by the Gersons, Mark and Rabbi Erica Gerson, a number of years ago. And Perry informed me that the 2024 award winner had been announced, and it was the very first anesthesiologist who's ever received that prize, I believe, and that was you, Dr. Greg Sund at Kajabi, for an exciting program. So tell our listeners a little bit about this application process and why they gave you the prize and what's ahead for you and Kajabi Hospital.
Yeah, why they gave me the prize, I have no idea, but hopefully I can be a good steward of this this incredibly generous grant. So my application centered around anesthesia capacity building at three rural mission hospitals, not Kajabi, but we would use Kajabi as a training hub. And so the three hospitals that I chose for this intervention were Kibuye, where I used to work in Burundi, because still a part of my heart is there, and Nkoma Mission Hospital in Malawi, which we've had some relationship with for several years, and then a smaller hospital in Uganda called St. Therese of Lisieux in Rebale, Uganda, which one of the former Laheim winners, Dr. Sister Priscilla, who's an OBGYN, works there and is doing incredible work with repairing women with birth injuries, vesicovaginal fistulas, and providing maternal and child health care there. So yeah, my program really revolved around three things. It revolves around education. So we're doing a bi-monthly Zoom meeting with the anesthetists at all three sites. And we're really trying to focus on topics that we know are very high yield topics, patients for whom outcomes in sub-Saharan Africa are very poor. And that includes obstetric patients, pediatric patients, and complications, post-operative complications in the recovery phase. So in addition to that bi-monthly Zoom meeting, we're sending out daily quiz questions on SurveyMonkey that relate to the prior lecture. and the anesthetist can just click on a link. They can do one question and they immediately get the answer and feedback to kind of reinforce what they've learned. So we're going through that. In addition to that, we're doing on-site simulation training in obstetric emergencies and pediatric emergencies at all three sites. We also have now funding to invest in some much needed anesthesia equipment at each of these sites. And so we're actually starting with capnography, which is a tool to measure exhaled carbon dioxide under general anesthesia, which is a standard monitor in the US in high resource settings, but it's really lacking in most, it's lacking in all three of these hospitals, and it's lacking in most resources in most hospitals in rural Africa. And then the third part of this is we have money in the budget to hire a quality assurance officer who can help us collect robust data on perioperative outcomes over the course of 3 years. And what we really want to see is, have these interventions made a difference? Are we going to see a decline in perioperative mortality? Are we going to see a decrease in anesthetic complications? Are we going to see a change in case volume as the capacity of these hospitals going to be able to grow as a result of these investments? And so that's kind of a summary of the program and what we're hoping to do.
And for our listeners' benefit, Greg, Kajabi has been involved in anesthesia training for some time now. I mentioned earlier nurse anesthetists, and I think through PACS, you also have a physician program to train anesthesiologists. So I'm guessing there's a lot of synergy, that it isn't just Greg Sund who's involved in this initiative that you've just described.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a big project, and there's a lot of moving pieces, and I could not do this without the support of a team here in Kajabi. So thankfully, there is one other physician anesthesiologist, Dr. Matt Kynes, who I work with and who actually is the program director for our PACS anesthesia residency program. We have an incredible group of nurse anesthetist educators, including Mary Mungai, who's made a huge impact across the continent of Africa in training high-quality nurse anesthesia providers. And of course, I'm getting a lot of support from African Mission Healthcare also in managing the logistics of this, the procurement of the equipment, all the travel arrangements. And so there's a whole team really behind this effort.
So that part of that team is your trainees. So explain for us, you know, what your training programs look like. How many different students do you have, or trainees maybe, who are going through the different programs?
Kajabi is a very busy mission hospital. We currently have 13 functioning operating theaters. And obviously with only two physician anesthesiologists, most of those rooms are staffed by Kenyan nurse anesthetists, or now by some of our senior anesthesia residents. So we do have a nurse anesthetist training program, which has been going on for about 15 years now, which was started by Dr. Mark Newton at Vanderbilt. And in 2022, in January of that year, we launched the first ever Christian-based anesthesiology residency program under the umbrella of PACS, the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons. And so this was really exciting for us. We're taking two residents a year. We've now just started our fourth year. And so we actually have a full cohort of nine residents. We took three this past year. And we really think that these physician anesthesiology graduates are going to be leaders in this field, in this area. Our first two are going to graduate in December. They're both Kenyan women. And they've just been incredible. They're just incredibly talented, hardworking. They're natural born leaders, and they have so much potential to make change on this continent. We have residents now from Ethiopia, from Democratic Republic of Congo, and we have a new resident from Burundi. And so we're really trying to recruit these physicians from the rural underserved areas who will come to Kajabi for 4 years and then go back to those rural areas where they're is most often no physician anesthesiologist available to help with consultation, with managing complex cases, with pain management, with critical care management. So we're very excited, and we feel really blessed by the success of this residency program.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. Excited to announce the newest addition to CMDA's long list of resources for our members, and it is specifically for students and residents. Called Standing Strong in Training, This new curriculum helps healthcare students and residents stand up against the cultural pressures facing Christians within healthcare today. The curriculum's 7 modules are designed for group settings, allowing attendees to solidify their foundational worldview beliefs regarding important issues, such as the beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Each module also offers ideas of how to winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their worldview beliefs. For more information and to download this free resource, visit cmda.org/standingstrong. Time is running out to register for the 2025 CMDA National Convention in St. Charles, Missouri on May 1st through 4th. Sponsored by Samaritan's Purse, this is the premier event for healthcare professionals, residents, students, and spouses to gather in community together. Our guest speakers include Dr. Eric McLaughlin, Ryan Bomberger, Aaron Hawley, and more. We can't wait to gather together and for God to show us how we can each be a spoke in the wheel for Christ in healthcare. So reserve your spot now. For more information and to register, visit natcon.cmda.org. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
One of the biggest challenges in all of these training programs is getting the heart of the trainee to be in line with the heart of your heart and other long-term folks who serve in these hospitals, which are becoming progressively and, thank God, nationalized. So what do you think is the key, and how are you and the other long-termers, the other anesthesiologists and the others, the Kenyans that you've described who are so committed, how do you build into them a heart of wanting to be involved in this sort of service in care for the poor, whether it's in Kenya or one of these other countries you've mentioned?
Yeah, well, it takes a lot of prayer up front, especially during the selection process. So we do spend a lot of time praying over the applications and during the interview process, asking them hard questions about where they see themselves working in 10 and 20 years. And we really are focused on identifying those who seem to have, you know, a God-given heart for the poor and the underserved in Africa. As part of any PACS residency program, we do ongoing discipleship. We meet with them weekly, going through the Bible together. We're also doing a Christian-based leadership book study with them as they go through their 4 years. We've been doing a new book every year to talk about what it looks like to be a follower of Christ and a leader, because I know that all of these anesthesiologists, as soon as they graduate, they're going to be thrust into positions of leadership. And as part of PACS, they are bonded to work at a PACS-approved site, which would mean either a mission hospital or a rural underserved area for every year that they train. So for our residents, that would be 4 years.
Now let's focus on the 3 sites and this program that the Lakhim Prize is going to be funding, and how many are going to be impacted across these 3 hospitals, and is there vision for expanding beyond these 3 hospitals?
We're working with a total of around 20 non-physician anesthetists among the 3 sites. And so we're really focusing on educating and equipping them to give safer and better anesthesia care. Now, hopefully they're impacting the patients they're serving. And if you combine all 3 sites, the total number of surgeries done per year is around 6,000 surgeries. Mm. If you combine all 3 sites together. So this is a 3-year project. So you're talking about 18,000 patients who could be impacted by this. And really our hope, And this is our hope in monitoring data, is that we're going to see a reduction in perioperative mortality by at least 50% over the course of those 3 years, that we're going to see a reduction in anesthetic complications, and that we're going to see an increase in case volume by 20 to 30% at each site. Do we want to expand this in the future? Absolutely. And that's another reason why we're collecting data, because we're really hoping that at the end of this 3 years, we will have a story to tell and we'll be able to find a venue to tell this story, to publish this data and say, look, this is the impact that $500,000 investment had in 3 rural hospitals in Africa, and hope that that will attract more investors, more funders who are willing to expand this program to other sites. We already have our eyes on a 4th site. In February, our simulation team went up to a hospital in the Nuba Mountains of Sudan. It's another partner site for African Mission Healthcare. And there's a very well-known missionary up there named Dr. Tom Katena, who is doing incredible work in an incredibly isolated environment. And so we're already talking about, if we can raise more funds, could we expand this project to those anesthetists up there where they're doing a lot of surgery with very few resources?
So you obviously have the partnership with African Mission Healthcare Foundation, and collaboration and partnerships are really critical. What other partnerships are helping you in providing anesthesia training and services at Kajabi, and other partners that you've seen that you want to do a shout out for who've been helpful to bringing this? Because I said earlier on in our conversation, you are a rare, rare individual. I have met very few. You mentioned Mark Newton, who's someone who comes to mind, and yourself. But I mean, I can list on one hand the number of anesthesia professionals who've heard God's call and obeyed. So talk to us about partnerships and collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, I have to start by, again, just thanking African Mission Healthcare, because the amount that they have invested in building up these hospitals across Sub-Saharan Africa is remarkable. And the work that they're doing is incredible. And the vast majority of our capacity building outside Kajabi, and a lot of our capacity building inside Kajabi, comes from their support. Another partner, obviously, is PACS, the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons. They're playing a big role in this by helping us develop more leaders who are helping us deliver this project through online lectures, through in-person simulation training. But PACS has been a very important partner and an important part of what we do for since we've come to Kenya. Another partner that has been important for this work has been Lifebox. They're a nonprofit based in the UK. And they were actually founded by Dr. Atul Gawande. And their initial mission was to put a pulse oximeter in every operating room in the world. And they've actually been incredibly successful in this. And so a few years ago, they came to me and they came to other anesthesiologists working in these kind of austere environments and said, "What do you think is the next step to make anesthesia safer?" And I know I said, I don't know what everyone else said, but I said capnography, because there's so many complications, very life-threatening complications that you cannot detect without capnography. And so they've now developed, just in the past year, a very affordable, durable capnography machine. And that's where we really started our equipment investment in each of these sites, is buying five of these machines at each site. And I've gone, and Dr. Kynes went to Malawi to help do this, to do a one-day workshop on capnography. So Lifebox has been another big partner. And yeah, you know, there's many people who I wish would partner with us. Again, unfortunately, like all of these projects, funding is a must. And so without finding, you know, generous donors and generous partners who are willing, but we really believe that, you know, what is not huge amounts of money in the grand scheme of things can make a massive difference at these hospitals. So if Bill and Melinda Gates are listening, I can give them my phone number at the end.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you've built in quality improvement assessment metrics. So that's something I'm sure that's going to be at the three sites very consistently and religiously, data submitted to you so that you can actually monitor this and give feedback to the donors. And I'm guessing that this sort of an approach could have impact across other specialties, other particular operating room surgical outcomes. So maybe there'll be more of an impact than what you even envision right now with this project in terms of quality outcomes for surgery. And I mean, matching some, you know, 2030 goals from the World Health Organization in terms of bringing surgery that's safe to Africa and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that's unfortunate about Sub-Saharan Africa is there's so little data on perioperative outcomes. And that's especially true in the rural areas, the district hospitals, the mission hospitals. And, you know, it wasn't until about 8 years ago, there's an anesthesiologist in South Africa named Dr. Bruce Picard, who created a network of anesthesiologists across the continent. And they've started doing some very short prospective, but very pragmatic studies looking at outcomes. And the results have been really astounding. They've shown that overall perioperative mortality in Sub-Saharan Africa is twice as high as it is in the U.S. If you are a child having pediatric surgery, your chance of dying is 11 times higher than in the US. And if you're a pregnant mother having a cesarean section, your chances of dying are 50 times higher than they are in the US. And so this kind of data really informs decision making and hopefully policy making, you know, at the local and the national level. And we're hoping that we can contribute to that in some small way.
May God bless you richly as you move forward. Thanks so much for giving us your time today at the end of a workday there, Dr. Sund.
Thank you, Mike. It was a real pleasure. I appreciate it.
Friends, Dr. Sund's efforts reflect the profound difference that faith-driven partnerships can make in transforming healthcare and lives in sub-Saharan Africa. Guided by a deep sense of calling, his work clearly is not only improving anesthesia safety and surgical outcomes, but also demonstrating the power of Christ's love through service to some of the most underserved on the continent of Africa. His ministry will continue to advance the safety of anesthesia and surgery across the region, training the next generation, and contributing to the broader goal of spreading the gospel and providing life-saving care. May Dr. Sund's work continue to be a powerful testimony of Christ's love in action, inspiring lasting change and bringing hope and healthcare where it's needed most. If you found this conversation valuable, please give CMDA Matters a follow on your socials, share the episode, and subscribe to our podcast for more discussions on faith in healthcare. We're fast approaching one of my favorite weeks of the year, the week in which we have the CMDA National Convention. We're going to be in St. Charles, Missouri from May 1st through the 4th with nearly 1,000 Christian healthcare professionals and their spouses, including over 220 students and residents, to enjoy heartfelt community, to sharpen our understanding of current cultural challenges, and stand strong for biblical truth. Thanks to our generous sponsors this year, both Samaritan's Purse as well as Liberty University College of Osteopathic Medicine, we're welcoming an amazing lineup of speakers and offering over 10 hours of continuing education and 50-plus breakout sessions. Plus, this year, the 8th annual CMDA VIE poster session will feature incredible student and resident research. You don't want to miss it. There's still time to sign up. If it's your first time attending in person, you'll receive $100 off your registration. You can secure your spot now by going to natcon.cmda.org. And let's make this year's national convention the best one ever. Maybe you can't join us in person. Well, we have a virtual conference registration option now open. While it's not quite the same as being there in person, sitting side by side and singing worship songs together, it's a great alternative to experience the main sessions live as they happen. And we have a dedicated host for this virtual experience, Dr. Julie Rose, who's our Associate Director of our Medical Education International Ministry. She can't wait to make you feel a part of these gatherings, May 1st through the 4th. Hey friends, for a few weeks I've been thinking about sharing with you a special prayer request because it impacts our staff here at CMDA and in particular our production staff for CMDA Matters. Rusty Sluter has been for many years our sound engineer technician at CMDA, and Rusty not too long ago was diagnosed with metastatic colon cancer and has been getting both radiation therapy after an initial surgery and some chemotherapy, but this week in particular is going to be undergoing even more extensive chemotherapy. Would you please commit right now to pray for Rusty as he's going through this treatment? We know that God is our healer, Jehovah Rapha. but he listens to our prayers. He wants us to pray and intercede for one another. So would you join me in praying for Rusty and his family as he goes through this treatment? Thanks. As I look to next week's program, I want to encourage you to be sure to tune in to CMDA Matters as we welcome Dr. Andy Oishi and Dr. Lori Tam. They're an incredible husband and wife team serving faithfully in Hawaii with CMDA, as well as around the Pacific Basin with ICMDA, our international sister organization. They're living out the gospel in every aspect of their lives. Both Andy and Lori's joy and kingdom work through healthcare is infectious. So don't miss out on this dynamic Dr. Duo's testimony of service, marriage, and ministry. You know, bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world through committed Christ followers in healthcare is what CMDA is all about. That's our vision. That's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. May you recognize this week that the Lord is right there with you and that He is for you to do His good work. Thanks for listening today, friends, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing, on CMDA Matters.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.